So I have a rather long title here, but really what I'm going to do is to talk about a tool that we developed called the Well Visit Planner, which is a family engagement tool to help parents really be prepared for their well-child visit and improve the quality and outcomes of the visit. So I have no conflicts, and I also would like to say that I'm presenting in lieu of Dr. Christina Bethel, who unfortunately could not be here today, and sends her regards. And also she is the executive director of the Child and Adolescent Health Measurement Initiative and the brainchild behind this tool. I'd also like to mention our co-authors on this work, Judy Shaw, who's the chair of Bright Futures, Caitlin Murphy, and Heather Fitzpatrick from American Academy of Pediatrics. So the Well Visit Planner was developed starting in 2008, and here are a list of all our partners, and you can see we did not develop this in isolation. We had many, many people involved in terms of, we had federal people, we had the American Academy of Pediatrics and Bright Futures, we had many pediatric providers give us input on this, and we have an advisory committee, and last but not least, we had many, many parents provide input on this. So what I want to talk to you today about is really why do we care about well-child care, and then to describe what the Well Visit Planner tool is and what it can do. And then I want to talk about how we implemented it in a community setting. We implemented it last year with Head Start, and then what we learned from that implementation. So why do we care about well-child care? Well, this is the recommendations from Bright Futures for preventive and primary care for children's health. And you can see that there are many, many visits over the years. And the national recommendations call for 13 visits in the first 3 years of life, which we know is a very developmentally fragile state. So it's really an important time. And there are other important developmental milestones as well in early childhood and early adolescence, where we know from emerging neuroscience that the brain and the body and the social-emotional health all kind of come together. So this is really the primary means of delivering preventive services. It's also a place where children, families, and providers are all together in one place. So it's really an opportunity for early identification, screening, education, and referrals. The visit is short, so there's a real need to be efficient here, and there are very few tools out there to really help guide parents and providers in implementing these guidelines in a way that is really family-centered. We also know that there are some major unmet needs in well-child care. So, for example, we know that 90% of children have parents that have unmet informational needs. 50% of families are not screened for risk factors, and many, many parents are not asked about their child's learning development or behavior issues. We also know that there are significant variations across the country and across pediatric practices and how the guidelines are implemented. And then there are some structural problems with the well child visit itself. It's short. There's limited reimbursement. There's really a lack of patient-driven mechanisms to promote family-centered care and really meet the parents' needs. And we right now rely primarily on clinicians to do some routine things that we could probably move to a more public health model for doing. So why do we care about parents? Well, there's a very obvious reason, of course, that parents are raising kids, and they're the ones responsible for it, and they know their kids, and they understand that, but they're often unfamiliar with what the age-appropriate developmental milestones are for their kids. So it's really important to provide that educational piece if they need it. Also, we know that the family situation and the community context are really critical for healthy development of children. And we know that parents can be key drivers to implement changes to improve child health outcomes, as well as the quality of the visit. So here's a conceptual framework showing the cycle of engagement between providers and families. And the goal really here is to get everybody on the same page, talking about and meeting the needs of the family and the child for what they really think is important. So I want to turn now to talking about the Well Visit Planner and what it is. So it was developed over about 4 years, from 2008 to 2012, and then from 2012 to the present time, we're implementing it in pediatric practices. So it was developed with a lot of input and interviews and focus groups with providers and parents and child health experts. We've also had it used in one randomized controlled trial in a large metropolitan city in a predominantly low-income family population, so that's been very interesting to see that data. Last year and this year we've been implementing it in National Head Start, and that's really what I'm going to focus on in terms of the implementation discussion today. And then we also started working with Family Voices, which is a family advocacy group for children with special health care needs, to really target materials that are really good for their populations and to get more of the family voice integrated into the Well Visit Planner. So if you go on our website, wellvisitplanner.org, this is what you'll see. And you can go down here and you can click Get Started. It's anchored to the national guidelines that you saw before that were developed by Bright Futures. It's available for kids 4 months to 6 years. So it's customized for each age group. It's available in English and Spanish. It takes about 10 minutes or less to do, and it's free. That's the best part. So there's really three steps to the Well Visit Planner, and I'm not going to go into any detail, but if you do have questions, I handed out a paper for you, so if you have any questions, you can contact us or go online or ask me afterwards. So the first thing is that when a parent goes online, they put in the age of their child, and it's a questionnaire that auto-populates with age-specific and appropriate questions and guidelines. So the parent goes through and fills that out. Then they come to a section where it says, pick your priorities. What do you want to focus on in the visit? Now, remember, the visit's like 15 minutes, and so you really want to be efficient, so they can pick their priorities. And with every priority, there's an icon where the parent can get educational materials and links to resources. And then finally, the tool prints out a visit guide that summarizes the answers to the questions and then prints out the priorities, and they can print it out and take it to their doctor so they can remember, which is really good because a lot of times they get to the visit and they can't really remember what they wanted to ask about or they forget about things, so it's really helpful. But we have actually a suite of tools here. We have the public use website, which is free for anybody. We also have the capacity to hook it up in a limited or full way with electronic medical records. I won't have time to talk about that, but that's a really important thing. And we have a paper and pen version of it for people who don't have computers. It doesn't have all the functionality of the online version. It doesn't have the educational access to it. And then we also have a companion tool called the Promoting Healthy Development Survey for providers, and they can get meaningful use credit and maintenance of certification. Another thing I won't have time to talk about, but if you're interested, please come and ask me. And then we have a number of implementation toolkits and resources that we have developed, one for Head Start and one for providers, and we're developing one for family voices. So we tested this with over 3,000 parents, and this is what they said about it. They really liked it. It was feasible, it added value, it helped promote patient-centered care, and they really liked the educational materials. So now I'd like to just talk about our implementation with Head Start. And you can see right here, there's two little portals. It says if you're Head Start, go here. If your providers, go here. And what we have, if you click on that link, are a set of resources. So we have an implementation toolkit. We have various resources for staff. We have videos and presentations on how to use this and what people say about it. We have resources for families. And we have case studies on implementing the Well Visit Planner in different models of Head Start, because we know not all Head Start centers are the same. There's home visiting centers. There's in-person centers. There's centers that are co-located with pediatric practices or hospitals. So we wanted to know, like, what was the difference for all of those. So we did a series of case studies on that. So we implemented it by first conducting a series of three national webinars. And you can see the red arrows are where the webinars are. And we had really great attendance. We had 300 to 400 people on each webinar, which was great. We were really excited about that. And you can see how they actually went on the site to check it out before they got there or after they got there. And so we were really pleased with the turnout. We did not have the resources or funding to do what we really wanted to do, which was to have a learning collaborative with some early adapters and really work with them. But we did conduct key informant interviews with center staff and directors, and then we put out a short survey on their listserv, and we had 111 people respond back. We don't know the denominator, so I can't give you the response rate, but it was a pretty good showing for us. And we looked at the feasibility of the tool, the ease of the navigation on the website, how was the level of information, and was it useful? Was the portal useful for them? So one thing we saw, and we were not surprised by this, was that only 30% of the people were actually using the tool or had used the tool or had tried it or looked at it. And we were not surprised because we know that you can't just give somebody a tool and say, here, it's great, go use it. These are people who are really busy and basically are like, don't give me one more thing, and we don't know the value of this, and it overlaps with our other screening tools, and you're just adding to our burden. So we know from implementing this with providers that you really have to sit with people, work with them, walk them through it, figure out how it works and goes into their office flow to really support them and provide technical assistance. So we weren't surprised by that. However, for the people who did use it, they really liked it. They said it was very feasible or somewhat feasible. It was easy to navigate, and the level of information was good and useful. The one thing is it's very difficult to use in home visiting situations because there's so much going on and you're dealing with really vulnerable populations who have a whole lot of other things on their mind besides well child care. I mean, they're talking about getting evicted and somebody's in jail and, you know, so there could be violence in the home or the community. So we know that it's very difficult in a home setting to actually implement this tool. There's a lot of things going on. So what did we learn from this? We learned that, one, you need champions. We had the national people were really championing this, but you also need people at the center level to really dedicated staff who are going to work with their staff to implement this. And you need funding. You really can't, it's very hard to implement this without special attention. You really want to assess, like, what is the level of effort that it's going to require of staff. You need to talk to staff about that, do focus groups and interviews with them to really understand their needs and how this can fit well, and explain to them what is the perceived value of doing this, how does it work well, how does it create a synergy for them, how it helps their parents, and also to get over there's a lot of myths, like parents don't want to do this, I can't ask this, this is going to take too much time. And those are a lot of things that you can, they're sort of initial barriers, but they're actually not true when we've actually sat with people and done this. So there's a lot of sort of one-to-one individualized work that needs to happen with that. And you really need to understand who their populations are, what the cultural context of their office is, and really be able to be there in a supportive way. What we learned from parents and families is that parents also need to understand what the value of doing this is. Parents similarly are very busy. They have a million things on their plate. They don't want to take 10 minutes to fill this out. Why should I do this? Often they don't have computers or printers, which is why we do have paper version of it. We also are now going to optimize it for mobile devices, and we are looking to develop a mobile app with it. So we're going to try to build, you know, to deal with it that way. You need to consider the literacy and language issues and building trust, and really understand the family and environmental context. So the implications for practice are that it is still very important to engage parents and families, and also to create the connection with the providers. Now, in Head Start's case, there was a triumvirate. There was Head Start, the family, and the providers. So there were some difficulties in trying to close those loops, and a lot of it had to do with data sharing and the relationships of Head Start with the providers. And so we really wanted to work with them to try to make that more cohesive. Also, you really need time, resources, and capacity to actually implement and sustain these kinds of tools. Training and technical assistance is essential. And you also need to be flexible. You know, there is not a one-size-fits-all situation, so you really have to understand the context and environment. And the implications for policy are that it is very helpful to leverage the well-child visits because they're required, they're really needed, and they're a good place to try to engage families in their children's health. But you need to really be able to support this process. We give a lot of lip service to family-centered care, but we really need to give it some more teeth. We also know that we can use public health models to do some of this, which is really great. And also, we would like to find ways to leverage funding from different aspects of the federal system, Title V block grant, the HEDS ACF block grant, and SAMHSA to try to do this. So our next steps for the well visit planner, we're going to update it based on the new guidelines that are coming out next year. We are optimizing for mobile devices. We are working with Family Voices to really engage their parents. And we want to expand the content because right now it only goes up to age 6. We want to expand it all the way up through 21 and then beyond. And we want to do targeted modules for adverse childhood events, experiences, children with special health care needs, autism, and many others. So, your child, your well visit. And those are references, and I'll take some questions if you have any. Thank you.